Let's open God's word together. In Acts chapter 28, if you don't have a Bible, please put up your hand and someone will bring one to you. Be good for us all to have God's word open in front of us today. You might remember in our past passages, Paul had been brought up to the authorities in Jerusalem and had received a good response from them, but the Jews had objected violently. So Paul appealed to Caesar. He's now in Rome. When he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me, but I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not want to bring any charges against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came to in even larger numbers, to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name's Paul. I'm on the ministry team here, and if you didn't know that, it's okay. I've only been here 2 weeks, so you be forgiven. But it is my pleasure today to open up God's word with you and to finish this series in Acts that you've been doing called Boldly and Unhindered, a great name for this particular part, this particular book. But I must confess, I was a little rattled by this because I had accepted the invitation to come to Norwest, but I didn't know that this was going to be the sermon series. And so when I heard some of the talks that the guys were giving, it did concern me a little. I don't know if you remember when James was talking about Acts 17, but in that talk, he mentioned about Paul's pattern as he would move from town to town on his missionary journeys. And he said that Paul would arrive, he would preach, he would plant, and he would move on. He would arrive, he'd preach, he'd plant, and he would move on. Last week, Pete was talking to us about courage, and at the end, he sort of encouraged us to to pray for courage for him and for all of us as we think about the possibility of the idea of planting something. And he was talking to us about that last week. And then the week before that, Pete was in Acts 20 when he was talking about Paul leaving the Ephesian elders and saying goodbye to them in order that he might move on. Now, I know that they were talking about the Apostle Paul and not people who have the name Paul. But last week I arrived. This week I'm preaching. You put the rest together and we'll see what happens. But isn't it wonderful that in this story that we have seen the boldness of God's people coming out in the book of Acts as the kingdom of God is inaugurated under its true king through the church, often at great cost. And we've seen this unfold in the book. And there's another pattern that came out. I don't know if you noticed it, but it was a pattern that came out because this is what the book of Acts is actually all about, is about the continued work of Jesus through his word, by his spirit, according to God's will. The continued work of Jesus through his word, by his spirit, according to God's will. That's what's happening in the book of Acts. Now, wouldn't it be great to be bold and unhindered? One of the important dates in a school calendar is the presentation day. I hope I'm not treating any teachers or anything as I say this, but it is an important date in the school calendar. I think it's particularly lively in primary school, because in primary school, the kids get excited about presentation day. Mum and dad are coming to school to see what I've been doing and see me perform and those kinds of things. And it's exciting for parents, right? Because, you know, when you've got little children in primary school, it's really exciting to go and see what your kids have been doing, to see them perform. They may even get an award. And so there's a lot of excitement around presentation day, particularly in primary school. And there was one particular primary school for which this was no exception. It was an exciting day as well. But this teacher thought that she might use presentation day as leverage. So what, she's a year two teacher, and she'd been having a hard couple of weeks with her kids in her class, and she was getting to the end of her tether. And as the kids were playing up one day, it was presentation day, was, you know, on the horizon, she said, if you don't stop misbehaving, you're not going to presentation day. Ooh, he's right. There was silence in the room. If you don't stop misbehaving, you're not going to presentation day. And in the silence, one little boy yells out, our parents weren't like that very much. Oh, to be bold and unhindered, right? Just to say what's on your mind. The sad part about that story is it was my son, but we'll move on. Being bold and unhindered is something that we've been talking about. But I want us to think about what we're bold and unhindered about. Now, we've seen hints of this through the series, but I think in these verses, Luke summarizes what we're talking about. So I want us to think about this idea of what we are bold and unhindered about. Because here, in the verses that Trevor read to us, the book of Acts doesn't end, right? The last verses in Acts say, for two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Did you notice that there's nothing in the text that says, and they lived happily ever after? It's not there. We're just told that Paul continued to talk. Friends, I think Luke does this on purpose because we are part of the age of the Acts of the Apostles. We are still living in that time. And when you think about it, if this is what table of contents, in Acts 1:8 says, that from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, then the end of Acts is right. It's going to the ends of the earth. We heard that for Paul, that might have been Rome. In Romans 1, we read that Paul had plans of going west to Spain. Was that the end of the earth? Well, when you think about it, the story of Acts is continued and we are part of it. And if anywhere is the end of the earth, it's Australia. From here, it's Antarctica. Even New Zealand gets a reference to Middle Earth, for you Lord of the Rings fans. But we are the end of the earth. And the word of God is still here. So we are part of this age. And so when you think about the thread of the continued work of Jesus through his word by his spirit, according to God's will, that's still true. It's still true for you and for me and for our church. The age of the axe is still going. So what is it that we are bold about, that we are part of? As I said, I think Luke summarizes it here because he uses this phrase, the kingdom of God. Paul taught about the kingdom of God twice in those verses that were read to us. So what I want us to see and think about today is a couple of things that we see about the kingdom of God as it's proclaimed from these verses. I think the first thing we see is that the kingdom divides. The kingdom divides. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Paul is talking here about the kingdom of God from prison, if you like. He's in a rented house, but he's in chains. He says that in the text. Isn't that a humble place for a kingdom to start within the midst of the reigning empire? From the prison, this kingdom of God message will break out. This is what's going to happen. So look with me at verses 23 to 26. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, that is the Jewish leaders, and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave. After Paul made the statement, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth about your ancestors when he said through the prophet Isaiah, and you can read those words that Trevor read to us before. There's division. As Paul talks about this, there's division. But what's interesting to me is that Paul teaches them from Moses and the prophets. He's talking to them on their terms. We should be able to agree on this stuff. But what happens is there's division because Paul is drawing out from Moses and the prophets the Lord Jesus would be this king of this new kingdom. Everything in that those old writings point to Jesus, and Paul is bringing them onto equal footing to be able to tell them this. But I think this is also important for us because Luke does a similar thing in his verse volume in the book of Luke. In chapter 24, you might remember Jesus walking along the road with the two guys to Emmaus. And we read there that Jesus taught them, starting with the law, Moses and the prophets, everything about himself. So Jesus and Paul talk from the same basis. The message doesn't change. We have to be careful that we make sure that the message about the kingdom of God does not change. It might affect people in different ways. It might reach them in different ways, but the message remains the same. And so Paul's message here doesn't change from what Jesus had taught or from the scriptures, even though it divides the people that he's talking to. And Paul talked, he could have talked about many things, maybe Psalm 110, Isaiah 53, the whole Pentateuch. He probably would have done a lot of teaching at this point. Paul would have gone through a lot of things because they would know some of the things that he was talking about. And we're told that he taught them from sunrise to sunset. You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to do that today. But that's like watching TV from the breakfast shows to the cooking shows to Dr. Phil to the midday movie, yes, I know what you watch, to Ellen, to more cooking shows, to The Bold and the Beautiful, to The Chaser, to the 6 p.m. news. That's a lot of telly. Or if you're more cultured, all three Lord of the Rings movies in one sitting. But when Paul teaches them, it causes division that we read there in 24 and 25. The kingdom of God, when it's proclaimed, will cause division. And not just amongst God's people, as we see here with the Jews, but between people in general. When I was in college, we did a mission to Greenacre, and we were knocking on the doors of people in that area, the majority of whom were Muslim. And we were knocking on their doors and talking to them about Jesus. The guy who was helping us understand how to speak with Muslims in a generous and compassionate way, was himself a converted Muslim. But for him, he couldn't live in the area. His life was in danger every day because of his allegiance to Jesus. He was estranged from his family. The kingdom of God had caused division for this man in his whole life. But he still wanted his people to know. There are things about the kingdom of God that divide us from the rest of our society. I'm sure you're aware of some of them. But we need to make sure as Christians that this division is because of the gospel, not because we dislike someone or because of their views or because we want nothing to do with them just because they think differently. If there is division from us and the society that we live in, it's because of the gospel. And we need to make sure that's the case, but it will cause division. Because what the gospel does is it challenges human arrogance and self-righteousness. It's going to cause people to be upset. And when this happens, it's easy to be afraid of this. We like people to like us. We don't want to upset people. We like to be accepted. And this division can not just be between us and our society, it can be between our friends and our families. That's not easy, is it? It's true for us. In our family, there are people who know what we believe. We've spoken to them about it. They know that we love them. We have amicable conversations and spend good time together. But because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, there is division in the things that we believe and in the way that we live. And it's not easy. And as a Christian, it can really break my heart because I want them to know the truth. But we need to know that the kingdom of God and the proclamation will cause division. The second thing I want you to see is that the kingdom of God is inclusive. The kingdom of God is inclusive. Hang on a minute, didn't you just say it causes division? Yes, I did. But it's inclusive as well. In verses 17 to 23 that Trevor read to us, Paul firstly speaks to the Jews when he arrives in Rome. That was his normal pattern to do things, right? He wants to reach his own people. He reminds us of that in Romans 9. I want my people to know. And so he goes to them first, and it's an important pattern for Paul in his missionary journey. But then we read this in verse 28 to 31, if you're following with me. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Hospitality in prison. Who heard of such a thing? He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul takes this to everybody. He wants them all to hear. He welcomed them in to where he was staying. And this is the kind of thing that we've actually seen through the whole book of Acts. In chapter 2, when the Spirit is poured out, there's people of different languages hearing the same message. They were all welcome to hear that message and to come into the kingdom. There's the beggar at the gate when Paul and John are there, and he is his poorest of the poor. People didn't want anything to do with him because he sits on the street. And when he receives the kingdom, he gets up and he leaps and he praises God. You've got the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 who has worked in the treasury of the queen, of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Even the accountants made it into heaven in Acts. So here's the Ethiopian eunuch. We've got Cornelius, a wealthy Roman centurion. Do you see? In Acts chapter 6, we've got the leaders of the Pharisees. We're told many of them became believers. There were people in Greece, Macedonia, Antioch, Rome, Philippi. Philippi started with a wealthy woman, the church in Philippi, and so on. You see, the gospel reaches everyone and includes them and brings them in. The gospel of Jesus should therefore be held back from no one. And Jesus invites all people to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Christians, therefore, ought to be more accepting of others, more willing to serve others, be peacemakers. Because at the very center of the Christian life is Jesus, who died for his enemies and prayed for their forgiveness. That was you and I. To include us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. third thing I want you to see is that this kingdom has a ruler. It is ruled by Jesus. Look with me at verse 23. Halfway through the verse, he witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught them about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. I used to listen to this podcast late 2010s. It was the late 2010s, 2017. And the podcast was called This Cultural Moment. And it was this bunch of guys, Christian guys, who were exegeting our culture and thinking about how things were put together and what all that kind of meant. And they had plenty of fodder because it was at the time when Donald Trump was the president. So they had lots to talk about. But they also would talk about the fact that people on the right of politics, and they would talk about the differences with the people on the left of politics and how they don't really meet. But they made this really interesting observation that doesn't matter what side you're from, you both want the same thing. They're both looking for some kind of utopia, heading somewhere where things are right and good. Both want to see justice. Both want to see beauty. They want the same things, just taking different roads to get there, if they ever do. And one of the problems the guy's saying is they're not reaching any kind of goal. And the conclusion that they came to was said that what people want is the kingdom without the king. What people want is the kingdom without the king. Can you imagine a place where promises are made and always kept? Can you imagine a place where its king would die for his people and yet raise again forever? Can you imagine a place where depression and anxiety are not epidemic because their king says, come to me and I will give you rest? Or don't be anxious about anything because I care for you even more than I care for the birds and the plants who are really well cared for. Can you imagine a place where people would love others out of gratefulness to their king rather than for their own selfish gain? Can you imagine a place where my worth is not based on my sexuality, my job, my qualifications, my achievements, but from a king who sacrificially sets the tone for all those he brings to himself? A king who unites us to him with such a close bond that everything changes. Can you imagine a king who is preparing a place for those known by him where there's no more crying or death or sickness or mourning or pain, where the old order of things pass away? Can you imagine that place? It sounds like an amazing place to be, doesn't it? But not only is the place important, but who is there? The kingdom needs a king who can fulfill all of this. Jesus is that king. It's not a kingdom without a king. See, friends, Jesus is not looking for your vote. He's giving you his. And he doesn't give us this vote because of all the good things we've done or that we deserve them. Actually, we don't actually deserve his vote, but it cost him greatly to get his. He's Saviour and King. You see, as Christians, we don't tell others about Jesus because we're trying to score points or you have a spiritual star chart. We share Jesus with people as an expression of love because we know of the judgment to come. And we don't have to face something that our king already has. We want the kingdom that we can imagine, and it is available, but it requires a new heart, a transformed life. And both of these are given by Jesus, our king. So the message of the kingdom and its king is divisive. We have been warned about this in the story of Acts. So it's to be expected. So when it happens, don't be surprised. The message of the kingdom is one that everyone is included. So when we repent and believe, we become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and a child of God. The message of the kingdom is centered around its king. We want to introduce people to our Lord and Savior. Is that what you want to do? You want to introduce them to your Lord and Savior? You know, I love it when I can introduce my wife to people. She's fantastic. That's when you go, oh, but I'll let it slip this time. But we want to introduce her because she's fantastic. Do you want to introduce Jesus in the same way? He is our King. You know, it was really important to the Apostle Paul for people to know the Lord Jesus. When he was in prison in Rome, he wrote a letter to the church in Philippians. And his desire was for them to know Christ. In one part, in 121, he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But he says, "For me to live is Christ because that's good for you. I get to help you know Jesus." In Philippians 3, he says, "I've done all these things and I've got lots of things and I've experienced lots of things, but none of that means anything. It doesn't compare to knowing Christ." That's what the Apostle Paul wants for people. So how does this hit the road? There are consequences for speaking out. In the book of Acts, we've seen that people, when they spoke out, were thrown into prison. They were even killed. That kind of thing is true for some Christians in many places around the world, even today. For us, it's not yet like this in our context, but you can be cancelled, no longer listened to because your view is unacceptable. But as we heard last week, we can pray for courage, for boldness. In the time of Acts, you may have been, if you wanted to speak with boldness without hesitation, you may have been shut down. In Acts chapter 18, we read about Priscilla and Aquila, and Paul meets them in Corinth because they've been tossed out of Rome because the emperor then thought, Christians are the problem in Rome, let's get rid of them, let's send them out. Maybe some people in our day and age think that as well. And so they were shut down and sent away. But in our culture, I think there is a cacophony of voices that are bold and unhindered. There are people out there peddling their cause, and we have to hear about it. And we hear about it through television, newspapers, social media is full of these voices vying for your attention. Do you realize that when you use social media, what they're actually after is your attention? That's what they sell. And they want your attention, so people grab hold of this and they preach what they want you to hear. And there's preaching out there about sexuality, about gender fluidity, pro-choice, pro-life, assisted dying, freedom of speech, religious freedom. All these voices are out there. So how do we hear the signal through the noise? Because here we're being encouraged to be bold and unhindered. People in our culture are unhindered about these issues. But why are they so bold about it? And I think one of the reasons that they're so bold about it is because they want to be accepted. Hear what I'm saying about myself. Hear what I'm saying, who I want to be, and you have to hear it and accept it. I want to be accepted by you. That's what they're asking for. But it's different for us, I think, as Christians, because we're not out there being bold and unhindered in order to be accepted, but because we are. If you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, you are a child of God, you are a citizen of heaven, you've been accepted. It's the total opposite to what everybody else is doing. Because we're accepted, we're bold and unhindered because of who we now are. There's this great story towards the end of Acts when Paul is in chains. He's in Caesarea, and you've got this couple, King Agrippa and his wife. And the scene is this room where Paul is brought in chains to speak to those who are around him and be interrogated. But at the beginning of the story, this King Agrippa and his wife come in all dressed up and they're wealthy and they're pompous. You know, it uses those kinds of words. And they walk in, everyone's looking at them and kind of bowing to them as they walk in because everybody kind of wants to be them and they're rich and they can sleep with whoever they want and all these sort of things are going on. And so they come into this room and they interrogate Paul. But it's an interesting situation, isn't it? Because I think Paul turns this around. Here you've got these well-dressed people who are guiding this whole conversation with a guy who's in prison rags and chains. And I think this is one of the high points in the book of Acts. Because King Agrippa says to Paul, after they've interrogated him, he says, Paul, do you think that you can persuade me to become a Christian in such a short time? And Paul replies, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. What does Paul become? A child of God, a citizen of heaven. Paul came as a zealous Pharisee and has been turned into this humble servant of the Lord Jesus. I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Is that what we want for people? See, we don't speak of the kingdom of God because of rules or ritual or even methods, but because it's real. Because it's real for us, because of what we've become. It's the message that we live by, and it's the message the world so desperately needs to hear. Those of you here this morning who are believers, I want to encourage you to remember that you are accepted. You're children of God, part of the kingdom of heaven, under the most wonderful and beautiful king you'll ever have. So live like that. For those of you who are trying to figure out your faith and what it means, or maybe taking a step back, please remember that the Lord Jesus has accepted you. All are welcome. And for those of you here today who don't yet believe, you're here because someone's dragged you along or something like that, we want you to know that Jesus' invitation is extended to you too. You don't have to do particular things or be a particular person or have done certain things. You come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. So we would invite you to accept that this morning as well. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word and all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you, by your Spirit, give us the courage to speak the truth about your kingdom, a kingdom that divides, yet is inclusive, and has the King we all need. Lord, would you just be working by your Spirit in our hearts and minds today as we think this through, about who we have become and what it means to be included as a child of God, a citizen of heaven. Amen.